Welcome to week 83 of our 91 weeks with the Holy Spirit journey through God's Word. 2 weeks ago, I asked you, if you're listening, to send me suggestions as to how we could title our next 91-week journey, because our first time through God's Word was 91 weeks with Jesus. Our second time was 91 weeks with the Holy Spirit. I want to thank those of you who sent in suggestions, and I've got a hunch we're going to be using one of those suggestions, but we'll be announcing that in another month or so. Today, we're back in the book of Job. And as we've seen already, there are few references to the Holy Spirit in the oldest book of the Bible. But there is one in this week's reading, and it's significant. By the way, I didn't introduce myself as I usually do. This is Pastor Rock Dillaman, lead pastor at ACAC. In the 33rd chapter of the book of Job, we find Elihu speaking to Job. He's speaking out of anger and disapproval. He was angry both with Job, because Job was righteous in his own eyes, and he was angry at Job's friends because they hadn't found an answer for Job, and yet they had condemned Job. And so Elihu speaks, and his words would go on for several chapters in the book. But we're not going to be considering his rebuke, either of Job or Job's friends. We're going to consider something he said right after he opened his mouth to speak, claiming to be prompted by God himself. And in the fourth verse, as he's laying down his credentials, if you will, Elihu said, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." Now, as we've said many times, the Greek word for spirit is pneuma, and it means breath or air or wind. So there really is a double reference to the Holy Spirit in verse 4. But Elihu pointed out that the Spirit of God has made me. He recognized that the Spirit of God plays a role in our creation. And that has something to say in the debate about abortion. It reminds us that one of the reasons the Lord knows us while we are yet in our mother's womb is because the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, is involved in forming us. Now, obviously, no one knows exactly how that plays out. We're not given that detail. But here the reference clearly says the Spirit of God has made me. Not just known me, directed me, indwelt me, led me, rebuked me, restored me, regenerated me. No, he said, the Spirit of God has made me. So Elihu, under the inspiration of the Spirit, recognized that the Holy Spirit, in some fashion, is involved in the creation of our body and our consciousness. The Spirit of God made me. And again, the implications for the debate surrounding abortion ought to be obvious and clear. If we are fashioned and made by the Spirit of God, then humanity has no right to destroy what the Spirit of God has intentionally made. Abortion involves the nullifying of the creative effort of the Holy Spirit. And as such, it is an act of antagonism toward the Holy Spirit of God. Now, when Elihu said, "The Spirit of God has made me," he was echoing something that we read in the opening chapters of Genesis. There we read that the Spirit of God brooded over the waters. And we know from the testimony of Scripture that the Holy Spirit was involved in creation, the creation of the heavens and the earth. Because the entirety of the Trinity, of the Godhead, is involved in everything God does. In creation, we hear the Father saying, "Let us," a reference to the Trinity, "make man in our image." We read of the Spirit brooding over the waters. And while Christ is not mentioned directly, there are other references, subsequent references in Scripture, that make it abundantly clear that He was involved in creation and certainly in the sustaining of creation. For Colossians tells us He holds the universe together by the word of His power. So, the Holy Spirit was involved in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the Holy Spirit is involved in our creation. And that sets the stage for the Holy Spirit being involved in our regeneration. Because the New Testament makes it clear that when we are born again, our soul is regenerated by the Holy Spirit. That means He takes what has died, because the natural man is dead unto God and dead in sin, and He regenerates life in that which had died. Now, when Scripture says we are dead in sin, obviously it doesn't mean we're physically dead. It means we're spiritually dead, unable to know God and align our life with God and walk with God. So we need regeneration. The Holy Spirit does that. So in a very real sense, the Holy Spirit is involved in our first birth, and the Holy Spirit is involved in the second birth. The Spirit of God made us as human beings, and then the Spirit of God makes us children of God. Now, one takeaway from this, besides undergirding our vehement, consistent condemnation of the practice of abortion, one other very practical takeaway I would like to suggest is this. The Holy Spirit who made me knows me better than I could ever know myself. Just as an artist who creates a piece of sculpture, pottery, painting, knows his creation intimately, the Spirit who made you knows you intimately. He didn't make you like everyone else. He made you unique. Not just in your appearance, but in your psychological makeup, in your talents, and if you've been born again, in your spiritual giftings and abilities. The Spirit knows you better than anyone in the universe, and better than you could ever know yourself. That's why people who say, I'm just striving to know who I am, if they don't involve the Holy Spirit in their search is destined to fail. Because the heart is deceptive. And the image of themselves that they'll create and adopt won't be who they really are in the sight of the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to go down rabbit trails, but that reality has a lot to say and a lot to speak into the whole debate involving gender and LGBTQ issues. It is not up to us as created beings to say, this is my identity, this is who I am. Only the Holy Spirit who made us can accurately say, this is who you are. Our identity should not come on the basis of our impulses, our temptations, or the thinking of culture. It should be based on the testimony of the Holy Spirit. And so when people begin to say, this is who I am, while the world applauds that as an expression of authenticity, the reality is, if the Holy Spirit is involved, it's the exact opposite of authentic. It's a deception. The Spirit who made us knows us. It is the Spirit that we're to look to for our identity, not culture, and not impulse, and not temptation, and not culture. Another practical takeaway, if the Spirit made you and knows you better than you could ever know yourself, isn't His advice the best advice you could ever follow? Because when He speaks, He's speaking to the true you. And because He knows the true you, and because He's the Spirit of God, He will speak God's truth to the true you. He knows what will bring you joy. He knows what will bring you satisfaction. He knows what will disappoint you and harm you and rob you, because He made you. If you buy a piece of equipment and it isn't functioning properly, you generally get in touch with the manufacturer, because you know that manufacturer knows the product. They designed it. They put it together. They put it on the market. And they know how it is to function. Well, God is your manufacturer. The Holy Spirit is your manufacturer. He knows how you are to function. He made you. And Elihu went on to say, and the breath of the Almighty, which is the Spirit, gives me life. So another takeaway, it is the Spirit who gives us life. The flesh kills. The law kills. Sin destroys. It is the Spirit that gives life. Because it is the Spirit who created our life. It is the Spirit who regenerates our life. It is the Spirit who knows us better than we could ever know ourselves, who directs our life, who steps into our life with either rebuke or comfort, who leads us, who empowers us, who positions us, who produces godly sorrow and repentance, who produces faith, who opens the eyes of our understanding. It is the Spirit that made us, who is best positioned to make us everything God wanted us to be when He first thought of us. Some of the oldest words in Scripture and human history align perfectly with things written centuries and millennia later by the apostles of the early church. The Spirit of God has made me. And let me leave you with one final thought. To use a common vernacular phrase and apply it to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit don't make no junk. The Spirit doesn't produce planned obsolescence. He doesn't design something to fail so that He can gain a profit more than once. The Spirit doesn't make junk. The Spirit doesn't produce a lesser product on Friday afternoon than on Tuesday morning. Everything the Spirit sets His hand to, He performs perfectly. He didn't make a mistake when He made you. People may be mistaken about you, but He didn't make a mistake when He made you. So as you can see, we could jump into this verse and swim around for a long time, but our end time is approaching. You have a great day and have a great week as you follow the Spirit who made you.